Pearson, and you can find me on the internet and all the usual places. Check out luradio.ca for all of your community radio needs. Join my Facebook group if you want. It's called PTO Junction, just like the show. I am out. Thunder Geeks are in. They're gonna do their thing, and really appreciate you listening to CILU and supporting community radio. Noah and the Whale is going to play us out, or rather, they are going to play us out because they're a group. I know grammar. Good night, everybody.
Inseparably entwined, like a piece of rope made out of two pieces of vine, held together, holding each other with no one else in mind, like two atoms in a molecule inseparably combined. Realize I was alone, a tragic event, I must admit, but let's not be overblown. I'm not trying to write a love song, just a sad, pathetic moan. And maybe I just need a change, maybe I just need a new cologne. But now I look at love like being stabbed in the heart. You torture each other from day to day, and then one day you part. Most of the time it's misery, but there's some joy at the start. And for that I'd say it's worth it, just use your blade that's short and sharp on me. And if love is just a game, then how come it's no fun? If love is just a game, how come I've never won? I guess maybe it's possible I might be playing it wrong, and that's why every time I roll the dice I always come undone.
CILU is supported in part by the students of Lakehead University, our sponsors, and our listeners. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
Campus Tech, located in the tunnels across from LUSU at Lakehead University. They are the only Apple-authorized service provider in northwestern Ontario. They also offer educational pricing on dozens of items, as well as a wide selection of computer and gaming accessories. Stop in and chat, or check out stock and order online at campustech.ca. Magnus Theatre, bringing a revolutionary season of live theatre to northwestern Ontario. Get your 2019-2020 tickets by visiting magnustheatre.com. The Argus, Lakehead University's student newspaper. Available on Wednesdays during the school year, around campus, around the city, or online at theargus.ca.
The following is a live recording of the Thunder Geeks panel from ThunderCon 2015.
Thunder! 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 Thunder Geeks are live! Hello, Thundarians! Welcome to ThunderCon! Of course, we are your Thunder Geeks, happily brought to you by 102.7 FM, CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca. I'm Andrew.
I'm Rob.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Kyle.
And we're your Thunder Geeks. Every week, we love to get together on the radio, and we just talk about the geeky stuff we've been doing this week, what's been going on in the media, and anything that really strikes our fancy and where the conversation goes. So, ThunderCon, I am so excited. Thank you, everyone, for coming out. We've worked so hard to get this going. Jess Petro, I definitely want to thank first, just because she has been instrumental getting this thing together. It's been amazing. Who's been to a convention before?
Round of applause.
Round of applause. Let me hear you. We ain't a silent show here. I assume the mic's going to pick people up. So, I mean, if you have a question, feel free, raise a hand, yell it out, and we will answer it on the air. Who's first convention?
Clap.
Clap. Clap. You're so polite. This is not school. Just yell. So we've all had some con experience as well. We absolutely love going to conventions. It is such an amazing experience. The whole reason we ended up getting on the radio was just random happenstance. Me and Kyle were promoting for another local convention in town known as KinaCon, and we're outside of Comics Plus just going, please come to the con, please. Please. Hey, hi, you. And this scary-looking bald dude with a beard and tattoos is like, oh, hey, I'm like the manager of LU Radio. We were looking for something local along this lines. Would you like to do radio? And me and Kyle are just like, okay. And unfortunately, Kyle abandoned us.
Whoa.
So he abandoned us. But we bring him back for the live shows. I'm so happy to have you back,
here.
Kyle.
I am here. Thank you.
And I went out questing for my friends. I started talking to my friends and seeing, okay, who works with everyone? And I went to Rob right off the bat here because I was like, Rob is someone I can talk to infinitely about anything, and usually it's wildly inappropriate. And we tested a few people out first, and then I'm like, hey, do you know any girls that are geeky? Because I want a different perspective. If we just have three dudes sitting around circle jerking on the air, it's not going to sound just as interesting. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know this chick named Megan. She's really cool. And we sat down, and Megan likes to blush. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay.
She likes to fangirl about us and the fact that we're doing this. And so she's a self-indulgent fan.
And our artiste.
That sounds really wrong. A self-indulgent fan.
There's nothing wrong with being a self-indulgent fan. I think that's a big part of being a geek is loving something so passionately and not having to feel ashamed for it. You can dress.
Shameless Canada.
Shameless. And, you know, you can dress up as your favorite characters. You can dress up as characters you love. And you can just talk with people about things that you feel that are important to you. So let's talk about some of the stuff we've done at cons here. Rob, I think you probably have the most con experience out of all of us.
I do, and before I start talking about it, we established this before the show, because this is at a convention, the name dropper limitation does not apply on this show.
Okay, I gave Rob a caveat. For those of you that don't know or haven't heard the show before, me and Rob have been playing this game about going an entire show without having to talk to about someone that he has in fact met and then name drops. We call him the name dropper because of it, because of its evil villainous. And Rob's like, okay, Rob, let's talk about convention experience. And he's just like, if I talk about convention experience, I'm going to blow through the whole list, because this year we decided that Rob can only name drop someone once. So he has to go 365 days name dropping only once. And I know, yeah, oh, actually not 365 days. 52. I am bad. 52 weeks. So 52 people, 52 weeks, and not repeating any of them. So we gave him an exception here. We're not going to bust him on the rule. So Rob, what conventions have you been to?
I've been to KinaCon when it was just in its infant stages, where I met you.
Yeah, me and Rob actually met at KinaCon back when it was inside of the LU dorms. It was two or three rooms. One was the common area, really tiny, and then we ended up just hitting it off. Rob was dressed as Tuxedo Mask, and he was this weird, exuberant kid, just everywhere talking to everyone. It was just like, oh, hi.
I feel no shame. I love everyone. I love y'all, you too.
Yay! Love you too, Rob.
I saw that picture on Facebook for the first time, and I was just like, oh my god.
Yeah, me and Andrew's first cosplays at KeepCon were posted on our Facebook page. Like us on facebook.com/ThunderGeeksBeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually did the plug this time.
Shameless plugging.
Shameless.
After KinaCon, my now ex, who is here selling her hats at the Little Rabbit gift shop, go check her out, said, hey, we should totally go to this thing called Fan Expo. And I was like, okay, thinking that she would bail or I would bail for some reason. And we just both wound up going and got addicted. And I've been going for years and years, four or five of them now. And it's just, oh.
What are some of your favorite memories from conventions?
My absolute favorite memory is from the first Fan Expo I went to. I was waiting for the Todd in the Book of Pure Evil guests to show up. And the space people who were running it were throwing away shirts and all kinds of goodies. And behind me, I hear, hey, what's going on here? And I turn around, and it's freaking Jason Mewes. And I'm a sarcastic guy, so without me seeing Beat, I look at him and go, oh, we're waiting for that a-hole Jason Mewes. He's late. And him, without missing a beat, just goes with it. He's like, oh, when he shows up, kick his butt for me. And it was just like one of those surreal moments where it's like, oh my God, I just met someone. And yeah, that's my name drop for the show, Jason Mewes.
Ooh. So how many celebrities have you met so far?
When I had to sit down and write the list out for the show, I counted 88.
Oh, wow. He's got quite a few to go through. This is going to be a challenge.
Well, the thing is, a lot of them are more like common actors who've done a lot of work. But then there's like the more obscure actors or directors where they've only done one thing. And if we don't bring up that one thing, it'll be really hard to bring them up.
This is why we need to meet Weird Al Yankovic without him and then rub it in his face.
Oh, yeah, that would
then,
be a goal.
Like, secretly hide a bunch of merchandise that, like, we have bought from him or, like, signed from him and just be like,
just
surprise,
rub
Rob!
It all over my body. Just going, oh, I got Weird Al all over me, Rob.
And then you guys would hear the first on-air murder.
Megan, what about you? So I know you've gone to KitaCon now, so that's the main convention. Tell us about your experience with KitaCon and like how it was like going to a con for the first time.
I'm such a noob, okay? I didn't even start cosplaying. You guys were already at a convention cosplaying, and I was, you know, at school with my, you know, kitty ears and my kitty tail being like, yeah, I'm a kitty cat.
Wait. But same though.
So says Tiger Millionaire.
Okay. But well, the first time I went to KitaCon was actually Winterfest, and I cosplayed as Ash Ketchum, and that was really fun because lots of people responded to it. It was like a lot of people that were just coming up to me being like, oh my God, can I take a picture with you? And it was just like so, it was one of the best moments of my life because...
Breathe, Megan.
There was,
you're forgetting to breathe here.
I know. There's so many people who were into anime in one little area, and it was just Winterfest. And then... actual KitaCon came around with the vendors, and I was like, I need to buy all of the things. And the special guests, Kyle Hebert was probably my favorite. Oh, he was, the way he worked a crowd was just amazing. Oh.
There's always just this special sort of atmosphere at conventions when you're around people who are just as passionate and love, you know, comic books and superheroes and cartoons. Anime, Doctor Who, all of this stuff, they love it just as much as you do, and it's nice to have that sense of community. Kyle, what about you? What's your experience with conventions?
I too, very, very new. I too started like a KitaCon, I don't know how many years ago, but I came as Zach from Crisis Core, Final Fantasy. And yeah, basically, the other thing I went to was Fan Expo, I went to as well from 2 years ago. And,
What was your big difference between going to, like, a smaller con and, like, a bigger con? What was the bigger shock, and which one did you enjoy more?
Oh, I enjoyed FanCon more.
Fan Expo. Not FanCon. No, that's a different story.
Yeah, actually, one of my favorite things, too, was at Fan Expo, they had the StarCraft II International Tournament, which
I got to sit
apart and watch and scream and hoot and holler with the rest of them. But, yeah.
Oh, I have a fun memory with you at Fan Expo. You might not remember.
Yeah, yeah. Kyle does not remember, so this is going to be interesting for all of us.
What happened was, I know you're like a big Jessica Negri fan, and I was there a day before him, so I'm not even that much of a fan. I just walked up to her line and asked for a photo with her to spite him, so I sent him a text of me and her together.
I was first in line waiting.
Yeah,
yeah, but I still met her before you, so...
The first day, I was like, I need... She's like right there.
Yeah, I follow her on Facebook, and she's a really good cosplayer.
Yeah.
For me, I didn't follow Jessica Negri. The way I found out about her was just Kyle obsessively sharing every single photo, just going, I love her. I want to make her my robot bride.
Those Facebook memories, every day has a picture of Negri of it. Every single day.
Oh, I can completely believe that.
Love it.
One of my big memories is also with you, Kyle. It's when we started doing panels together.
We did.
That's where I think I really found my voice because I was a more awkward kid and stuff where
yeah,
I didn't really get
it. Was awkward.
Okay, I'm still an awkward, weird person, but I do it with more flair now.
We did the voice acting. Comic book voice acting.
We did comic book voice acting. Oh, yeah, no. We used to read comic books live at KitaCon there. I remember we did Larfleeze, and
yep.
Larfleeze had a lot of dialogue.
I love Larfleeze.
I love Larfleeze, too. Give him a little Larfleeze.
Yes.
Mine! Mine! It will forever be mine!
For those of you who don't know, Lars Lees is the Orange Lantern, the lab, a Lantern of Avarice, so he's the only Orange Lantern, and his whole thing is greed, and he steals everything.
He's a cute little puppy thing.
I thought the Orange Lantern was your thing, though.
Well, Orange Lantern is my thing. Me and Kyle have to fight over it. Because we're both greedy.
You know, actually, he's greedy. Both of you say you are, but who owns the Orange Lantern? Do you want me to pull up my leg and show all the lantern tattoos?
Rob's pretty inked.
What's this? Look at my hand. Yeah, power ring.
That's green, though. That's not orange. Rob actually has all of the lanterns right now, except you're missing one. Indigo. No Indigo tribe right
now. Come on in, Harley.
Come join. We're just gonna judge you and just stare awkwardly.
No, don't do that.
Awesome, we're doing a radio show.
You're now on the radio.
Yeah, you're on the radio right now. Well, not right now, but you will be next week.
You're tuned to CILU 102.7 FM, and this is a live recording from the Thunder Geeks panel held at ThunderCon 2015.
One of my favorite memories was actually, it was completely random, and it's where we really birthed the seeds of Thunder Geeks. Is me and Kyle, we both used to volunteer for KitaCon, we used to be on staff, and we found ourselves with a little bit of time. The video game trivia contest ended early, so me and Kyle was like, oh, we have to relax, and they left us alone with microphones, which was a bad idea, because me and Kyle were just like, I love the sound of our own voices, let's go talk to each other. And by the time we were finished, we accidentally filled the room with a panel that wasn't a panel. And it became one of our traditions, the not panel panel, where we'd hijack a mic at the convention and start running a panel without telling anybody.
Breaking the law, breaking the law.
So let's tell a little bit more about us. So kind of the fandoms that we're into, it's really unique to us and why we find them unique. For me, I'm a very huge retro gamer. I collect older consoles. I think I'm up to 42 different consoles, including my handhelds. I have an obnoxiously big collection now, which is now taking over my entire apartment. But I love things from the older eras. I have trouble getting into modern gaming now. A lot of times it feels like it's holding my hand too much. It feels that I don't have a sense of accomplishment, because I remember having to do something for weeks and months on end playing the same game over and over again because they didn't have save states, and just, it was so satisfying when you could eventually beat something. Like the first time I beat Super Mario World, I was ecstatic. I'm getting up, it's like, I am the champion. Big thing also is with older games as well, is there was a sense of frustration as well, where I don't really have that now. I haven't thrown a controller in a long, long time.
Tell me your secrets.
The exclusion is possibly Splatoon. I have been very close. Nintendo not including voice chat in Splatoon was one of the smartest decisions they've ever made, because I have screamed the most vulgar and horrible things into my Wii U tablet that I'm hoping my landlord does not hear that, or she thinks something really weird is happening in the basement. I'm also very much into cartoons. Western cartoons is one of my bread and butters. I'm an absolute fan of Western animation. It's something I'm very passionate about. And more of a casual comic book reader now. I used to be more into comics, but that's more Rob's bag now.
Yeah, I'm the more avid comic book reader, dropping $50 to $70 a week on comics. I read several titles, and because of Marvel's new relaunch, I'm adding several more titles to my roster, and it's just...
How big has your pull list gone?
I just passed, I think, 1,200 comics.
Oh, no, that's your total collection, but, like, how many are you getting per week now, or per month?
God, per week, let's see. What's 60 divided by 5?
Math.
Someone's got to do math for us. Oh, jeez.
I just know what my grand total bill is.
How much are you spending?
$60 to $70 a week.
$60 to $70 a week, so that's going to be around $240 a month on comic books alone.
And that's not counting accessories, statues, trade paperbacks, which I love to get, because I love to reread certain stories, and I don't want to open and touch the comics again. I read the comic once, tape it away, put it in my box, we're good.
You have an entire cold storage.
Yeah.
You know, just dedicated to keeping your comic books safe.
I have a room just for comic books. That is how... Oh, Mr. Trekkie.
Well, that would make my friend Caleb drool.
Yeah. That's what we look to do.
Yeah, I survive off people's envy and rage. Hence why I'm the name dropper, and I have all these cool things and fun things. And see, that's right, Kyle. Make that face. You're feeding me. Yum, 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 yum.
We all kind of have a cell. At least me and Rob kind of have a mutual sense of
evil.
Evil is the right word for it, because we enjoy making each other cringe and each other's pain.
We've got our supervillain names. I'm the name dropper. We got,
and I'm the mild inconveniencer. I mildly inconvenience everybody, not that, majorly, just mildly, because you don't want to be a dick.
Then we've got Megan, who is the fangirl.
She's just going to awkwardly go up behind you going...
Maybe use my inhaler a couple times.
I don't think we don't have an evil identity for Kyle yet. Are you...
Whoa. Wait a minute.
Dying boy.
No, stop.
Dying boy.
Wait a minute. Okay, Kyle's shirt was green. And now it's black.
He was wearing a sweater.
They're called hoodies. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah, Megan, there's this thing...
Wait a second.
There's this thing called clothes, and sometimes people wear several layers of them in order to create fashion.
Wow, what is that? Everything I own is black, and I just look terrible in it.
And the other big thing for me is the Power Rangers. I see the Red Ranger hoodie over there. I got my Black Ranger.
Respect.
Shirt. Yeah, I'm a hardcore Power Rangers geek. I grew up with that. I've been watching everything up to date, including Power Rangers Down Charge, which is still currently going.
How did you make it through Samurai? I tried. I tried to go back for Samurai. I got 3 episodes in, and I'm just like,
here's the thing with Samurai. Yeah, it's not that great, but the thing is, if you watch it chronologically on, like, what Nickelodeon did, where they aired it out of order...
Which is weird. That's been happening with a lot more shows lately, where they're not starting with the first episode anymore. They're starting randomly with a different episode, and it really wrecks shows with continuity.
Yeah, like Power Rangers is a chronological story. The what happens in one episode does have weight in the next. Maybe not so much when it's a monster of the week, but sometimes you get new power-ups, a team member gets switched out. Heck, in a Power Rangers Lost Galaxy, one of the Rangers actually does die.
Yeah, that was one of the more braver points. But I think there was stuff happening behind the scenes, wasn't there?
I can't remember the actress's name, but the lady who was playing the original Pink Ranger.
No one knows who played the Power Rangers other than Jason David Frank.
Yeah, but she got diagnosed with breast cancer and had to leave the show to undergo treatment.
Oh.
Thankfully, the treatments worked, and she's now cancer-free.
Yay!
But it did result in one of the coolest twists in Power Rangers history, where the villain from the past season became a Power Ranger.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. I really grew up with Power Rangers when I was a kid, but I fell out of it. I tried to come back when Saban, you know, took it over and with Samurai, but...
Samurai was weak. I'm going to say Megaforce was the second weakest season, though it did have the strongest finale, because it had all the Rangers fighting a giant army. And Death Charge is good right now. It's actually enjoyable. It found that healthy blend of cheese and modern touch to it, because it's not... That was the problem with Samurai. They were trying too hard to be, like, the original.
Yeah, they and that's not a bad thing, trying to harken back to the original Mighty Morphin, but the slapstick
didn't work. They tried too hard. That's why Dino Charge works, because it's still that cheesy kids show vibe,
mm-hmm.
but it's a better kind of cheesy. Like, they got better writers, and it's legitimately funny at times.
Now, Megan, I know you're a huge fangirl. What is your biggest fandom?
I don't know. Oh, okay.
Make you choose.
Oh, no.
Choose one of your babies and the other have to die.
sorry. These are the noises I make when I am scared.
You already canceled Constantine. I'm hearing the clock ticking now.
No.
Yeah,
okay.
Constantine, Megan loves Constantine an unhealthy amount. And unfortunately, it was canceled because she didn't love it enough.
You are so mean. I hate you.
No, she still does, but it's like loving a dead puppy. It's like. She still loves it, but it's not bringing it back. It's not like a fairy where you can just clap and it'll come back to life. No, Megan. You killed it. You didn't care enough.
I do believe in demons. I do.
I do believe in demons. I do. If I had to choose any of my fandoms, I would probably say, Well, I'll stick with the most recent one. Recently, I'm, like, really into Steven Universe.
Yes.
I love Steven Universe.
Me too. It might be a little subtle there. For those that you don't know, I'm actually dressed as a character from Steven Universe. One of the random episodes with Steven where he goes off to be a wrestler with a character known as Amethyst and adopts the persona of Tiger Millionaire. I can't remember the story now. I was going to memorize that because I know he grew up in the coconut mines and worked his way up to being, you know, rich with jungle. Oh, yes, his parents own the coconut mine, because, heck, inheritance is a much better way. Screw hard work. Oh, I got a question. Fire away.
I wanted to comment on the Power Rangers thing. It's like, that does get a general impression that is, like, a bit of a kid's show, but it's, like, so many things, like, freezing and tangled. Everything's so, like, well-made now that really everyone can enjoy it.
Oh, that's the thing. Just because it's made for kids doesn't mean it can't be good. Jack, one of the guys here, I made him watch Rangers RPM, which is set in a post-apocalyptic future, and it's actually a dark series, and Jack, you actually did enjoy the show, and you're not a Power Rangers fan.
Because it was originally kind of like a parody, the original one was a parody.
Yeah, the Sentai it's based off of was a parody series, and this was a dark, gritty series.
And they managed to explain it away in a way that was kind of lighthearted, makes sense, and...
And it's not spandex.
It's not spandex. Yeah, that was one of the things that was really cool about RPM is they started giving explanations to some of the weird things that happen with Power Rangers. Like, why things explode behind them all the time? Oh, no, it's just the energy released.
It's the residual energy that your suit can't contain, so it has to expel it somehow. No, that's a 6-foot fireball behind me.
Now, I know you had a question, too. Yell it at us. Yell at us so the mic picks it up.
I was kind of wondering why you had
the tiger nose, it's part of Tiger Millionaire's costume, where he's part tiger, part millionaire.
This is why I love Steven Universe so much, is because it's like, it's for kids, but when you're an adult, you can enjoy it, and there's so much diversity and character development. Oh, the character development, and all the characters are gorgeous. Just love them to fit.
And all the feels.
It's
the
really feels. Raised the bar for animation for me, and there's shows that I think I would have liked a couple years ago, because they were just contained episodic episodes, but they are treating the kids so much more intelligently now. They're showing, I know kids can follow a story. They don't just have to have a random comedy episode, you know, thrown in between. We don't need Teen Titans Go. We don't need Teen Titans Go.
Hilariously enough, there's an episode of Teen Titans Go where they watch the original Teen Titans, and they're like, why did this get canceled? This is awesome!
We have a question over here from Mr. Goldstar Leader here.
Trekkie.
Well, another example of a show that actually respected kids' intelligence, one that I grew up with,
Batman the Animated Series. That is one of my first big passions. I am a gigantic Batman fan. I have dressed up as budget Batman several years in a row, being the hero the city can afford. And Batman the Animated Series was one of my big introductions into it. I actually started with the Adam West series, where it was something I used to watch, you know, when I was about 3 years old, hiding under the coffee table on YTV, and then Batman the Animated Series came on, and it was this dark show that, you know, had guns in it and had, you know, story, and it was so amazing. And that's something I really liked about Steven, where the story builds. It seems like it is just a fun, random, you know, sort of like happy-go-lucky show at first, but as you keep going, they start hinting that there's more going on, and then you finally find out that the gems, the ones that are the heroes of the story, are actually alien invaders into the Earth, and they betrayed their own kind to stay on Earth. It was a huge twist in the story and threw us for a loop, but it made that story all the more special for us.
Trust me, even with that spoiler, it's still an amazing show.
It's a minor spoiler. It comes pretty early within it. Kyle, what about you? What would you say was your big passions?
I'm a gamer mostly. New and old, of course. I'm going to have to go with, though, Blizzard Entertainment.
Everything Blizzard?
Everything Blizzard Entertainment. Played WoW since it came out. Diablo 3, I've gotten every character class maxed. Yeah, I've got a horde tattoo as well.
There's nothing wrong with nerding.
She helped me make it. She helped me pick it. But other than that, actually, right now, Rick and Morty. Rick
and
Morty through and through.
Love that season finale.
I cried so hard.
It's funny how Rick and Morty, of all shows.
Yeah.
It's been really interesting to watch the animation industry grow in the West again, because not too long ago, animation in the Western world had really taken a hit. There wasn't that much original content coming out, and most of the stuff that was coming out was just, you know, half-hour random comedy shows that were, it's like, eh, we don't have to make it good, it's just for kids.
And then Avatar came.
Avatar was instrumental in that, where they started showing off a mature version, something that had continuity for kids, took children seriously, and because they did that, they attracted this entire audience they didn't expect, which would be, you know, teenagers and adults, and it grew into a show that they actually then targeted at the kids who grew up with it, with Legend of Korra. Project.
Oh, crap. When cartoons and stuff come over from, like, Asia, some of the westernization efforts do get a little bit weird. Like, I haven't watched Sailor Moon, but I heard of something going on between two cousins that...
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I know that story. I grew up with Sailor Moon, and I was in the era where, you know, boys weren't allowed to watch girl cartoons, so it was me, you know, I was like, I don't really like this, but my sister watched it, so I got to watch it, you know, in secret with my excuse, like, oh, no, I don't like Sailor Moon, but just my sister watches it, and I happen to be there. No, I loved Sailor Moon as a kid. It was, again, that was one thing I got really attached to anime with, where it showed me this different side of storytelling I wasn't getting from things stateside. With Sailor Moon and Standards and Practices, especially in the 90s, liked to make a lot of weird edits. They would turn cigarettes into lollipops and...
Root beer, Dragon Ball, the original series.
Dragon Ball, the original series, has a lot of weird stuff that happens in it.
Pokemon, too, because, like, I remember this one scene in Pokemon where Ash Ketchum was, like, clearly eating rice balls, but I guess there was some...
They call them donuts. They call them donuts. With Sailor Moon, they had two characters, and they were in a lesbian relationship. It was Sailor Uranus and Sailor Neptune.
Uranus.
See, I tried to not say Uranus, and that didn't work at all.
We've done away with that joke. It's now called Urectum.
But what they ended up doing is they ended up trying to explain away their relationship, saying, oh, they're just cousins. The problem is, if you know the original context, it makes it 10 times more creepy. Because you have these characters, and they're still very close within the animation and stuff. It's like, oh, yeah, no, I'm just really close with my cousin. You have sparkles all around them and stuff, and it's all lovey-dovey.
Don't tickle me there. Oh, but I thought you liked that. Only when we're alone. Like, the context is so bad.
Yeah, westernization of anime is thankfully something that's, like, almost gone away.
In some regards, there is some still weird edits. But one of the most recent animations, I talked to it about it briefly on the show. I'm going to pretend to take a break here, of course, so I'm going to leave the marker here. Of course, we're brought to you by 102.7 FM, CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca. We're your Thunder Geeks, and we'll be right back.
As Indigenous people, our history is documented by our storytellers. The National Film Board of Canada understands the importance of this role and is thrilled to share its collection of over 250 Indigenous-made works with you. Step into the world of First Nations, Inuit, and Métis with online and community screenings. These stories will inspire and initiate conversations on identity, family, community, and nationhood. To learn more or to host a screening in your community, email wideawake@nfb.ca.
CILU is sponsored in part by the students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship, an inclusive spiritual community promoting a compassionate, just, and sustainable world. Find them online at luf.ca, on Facebook, or at 129 South Algoma, Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Live from the Rock Folk Festival, bringing the spirit of folk and folk music to Red Rock every August. Keep up to date with upcoming happenings and buy tickets online at livefromtherockfolkfestival.com. The Outpost, Lakehead University's pub, full-service restaurant, and live music venue. Find them on Facebook to stay up to date on all the happenings during the school year, like Tanker Tuesdays and Pub Night Thursdays.
CILU's presentation of the live Thunder Geeks panel from ThunderCon 2015 continues now here on CILU 102.7 FM.
And we're back. So,
To explain that to our live audience.
We are recording live, so we're going to put it on the air. So I'm just going to do a couple little breaks here for you, just to make it easier when we go to edit the show to shove in our commercials. Really weird adaptation. It's called Yo-Kai Watch. And this show, I think, is a more faithful adaptation. Now, they do change up the humor because a lot of Japanese humor is based on puns that don't translate into English at all. However, it is very much steeped in Japanese lore, where they have the spirits all around us, and only this kid with the Yo-Kai Watch can see it. And they cause...
Available for $49.99.
Of course, available for $49.99, and it caused, the spirits cause, you know, everyday problems. So, you know, things like your parents fighting, and if you want your parents to stop fighting, you have to buy the Yo-Kai Watch so they, you know, you can see both the Yo-Kai. Which, this show is so good at exploiting childhood insecurities. I understand why Disney picked it up, because it's merchandising gold. And they have a lot of weird characters as well, like Mangy Mutt, where he's part poodle, part wood, part drunken Japanese businessman. And it is one of the most bizarre shows I have ever seen, but it's actually hilarious. And it seems that even the intro and the outro, most times they'll just completely re-record it. They didn't keep the original Japanese intact, like you'll see with a lot of the teen-focused shows, but they translated the lyrics and kept the opening and ending songs and the dances for them. That's something that's really something more popular in Japan and Korea, where they'll have dances that go along with shows and songs and stuff like that, and they usually get cut out for the Western release. No, the whole ending, you can dance along with it. Not that I have alone in my basement.
That's why I like Show by Rock, because they're going to translate those songs into English soon.
Oh, and, yes.
And sometimes the Japanese to English translations don't actually work, but I'm hoping that they do for this show, like, really bad.
What do you think is the best dub you've seen and the worst dub you've seen?
Bible Black, definitely.
Yes. No.
best or worst?
Worst, obviously.
Why?
No.
Why?
Okay. No. For the worst, I would have to say. Oh, honestly, no, I can't. No, I don't want to say that one. That's not a.
We can cheat and just say One Piece. I didn't actually watch the One Piece dub or One Piece just because.
See, the thing is, the dub wasn't the problem. The problem was all the editing to make it less violent. Even though it is a very violent show. No, the worst dub ever is the UK Dragon Ball Z.
Big green!
I'm unaware of the UK Dragon Ball Z dub.
There are so many bizarre translations. Like, it's not Saiyan, it's Space Warriors.
Space Warriors.
And they don't call Piccolo Piccolo, they call him Big Green.
Which is
well, it makes sense because
better.
Dende is Little Green.
That is so much better.
But that's like the
Big
joke.
They can tie it in with that soccer movie, so instead of that kid that was in all those things that plays the goalie. You remember Big Green?
Air Bud?
No, Big Green. They had a.
They had a goat, not a dog.
Game.
Yeah, it was a soccer game. If the team loses, they have to kiss the Big Green goat.
And then.
That's not a euphemism, by the way. It was literally a goat. That was green.
The 90s did a lot of weird sports movies for kids. So, I mean, because Mighty Ducks got popular, and then everyone got a show, and then everyone with an animal got a sports movie. Yeah. And
Mighty Ducks show
How are they still making Air Bud movies?
Oh, well, they're the buddies movies now, so not related to sports whatsoever. Snow buddies, they go to space, they hunt for treasure, they go for spooky ghosts. That's one of the things that I think it's still Disney that they're really milking that direct-to-video market, which they had gotten away from for a good long while, and I'm so glad. We almost had an Aristocats sequel, and I really did not want that to happen after seeing The Fox and the Hound midquel.
I just want to point out, going to like the direct-to-video thing, there is Scooby-Doo Investigates World Wrestling Entertainment.
And John Cena!
Yeah, and he's on the cover. John
Cena
is on
the cover.
He bursts
out of nowhere and stops a boulder.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Oh, I saw that.
You haven't seen
that? No, I saw gifs of it on Tumblr.
Geifs.
I saw geifs of it.
To explain to the live audience, we couldn't decide whether to call it gifs or gifs like it's supposed to, so we just bug everyone and call it a geif.
Yeah, if you get it intentionally wrong, then you're guaranteed the result.
It's also, what was it, not Ghibli, it's Ghibli?
No. It's Ghibli. No.
Mika corrected us on that. It was Ghibli.
But we still decided to call it.
It's both.
Did anyone keep bucks a day with the Napoleon Dynamite animation series.
There was a Napoleon Dynamite animation?
No.
Fox has this sort of weird things where they keep searching for a replacement as their like fourth pillar of their Sunday night. So they have, you know, Zombie Simpsons, which keeps trudging on, Family Guy, which keeps doing a thing, Bob's Burgers, which is actually good, and they keep trying to find another show that fits in there. So they tried a few. They tried Alan Gregory, which is one of the few shows that I actually yelled at the screen in fury just because it was trying to have an ironic humor, but it wasn't smart enough, so it ended up just coming off as super spiteful, and it's part of the Seth MacFarlane problem, where you can have mean humor, but you have to have that lightheartedness to contrast it, because if it's mean all the time, then it's not funny, it's just kind of being a dick.
Mm-hmm. I've never even heard of this Alan Gregory show.
It was starring Jonah Hill, and
he was a super smart, like, child genius.
He was a child billionaire. He was forced to go to regular school, and he's an awful human being. He has two dads, which was trying to be progressive, which was, okay. However, his biological father kidnapped the other dude and holds him hostage in a sort of Stockholm syndrome relationship, because he was married and is still married. Yeah, there was a lot of ideas.
It was really, really, really
not a lot of good ideas. Napoleon Dynamite, when it came out, I just looked at it, I'm like, why now? What? I ended up skipping over it.
I watched one episode, and it was probably the best episode I ever saw, and I don't remember anything from it, but I remember enjoying every single second of it. And I need to go back, I need to watch that show.
Didn't Fox also do Axe Cop?
Axe Cop, yes.
I think it's FX, isn't it? Isn't it FX? I'm pretty sure Axe Cop is FX. And that's one thing that's been really cool about animation recently as well, because before we were always limited to 22-minute formula. And with they've been moving more towards 10-minute episodes, and with those 10-minute episodes, they've been able to tell more fleshed-out stories because they're not adding in all that filler. That's one big thing that about Steven Universe is you have 10 minutes of an episode, but it feels like you've watched a half hour by the end of it.
With that, there was a lot of shows that did that in the past, you know, with like Teletoon and stuff like that had like Squidbillies and Aqua Teen Hunger Force and all of the like 11-minute segment shows with 4-minute commercials after.
I got a question. How many times was Aqua Teen Hunger Force like quit or canceled?
There was, I think, 4 times during the end of the seasons that it changed. It went from like Aqua Unit Patrol Squad 1 to Aqua something something you know what.
There's actually an interesting story behind Aqua Teen Hunger Force. It's something that happened in the marketing of the show that drastically changed the animation industry for a while. Cartoon Network's, what happened was Aqua Teen Hunger Force was doing this advertising campaign. So what they decided to do is put a bunch of boxes with the Moonanites, on cardboard boxes just around the city of Boston. Unfortunately, putting a bunch of unmarked boxes in Boston kind of set off a bomb scare. So, yeah, and the internet found this hilarious, because you have the bomb squad coming in with this light, bright version of a box with the Moonanites on it. However, Boston was pissed. And Aqua Teen Hunger Force actually had this infamous episode that has never aired that makes fun of the whole situation. What happened, though, in the follow-up of this is the head of Cartoon Network had stepped down because of it, and I can't even remember the new guy that originally stepped in. He had this idea. It's like, oh, you know what? Nickelodeon and Disney are making tons of money off these tween live-action shows. Let's just start putting live-action on Cartoon Network, and let's go with just comedy series, and let's just keep it funny, 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 merchandise more. And a lot of shows that were really cool ended up getting canceled because of it, and it really took a hit to the animation industry just because of a marketing stunt no one really thought would cause an issue.
What's the best cut episode you've seen of the series? Because Pokemon had a couple. One was where they had that that swimsuit contest, I think.
Yes, James's
boobs.
My favorite has to be the most controversial with Pokemon, and that's Electric Soldier Porygon. Yeah. That is the infamous episode of Pokemon that when it aired in Japan, it caused seizures in kids because of the rapid flashing lights. I can't recommend to watch it if you're photosensitive. However, it's a really cool episode to watch because there is a lot of explosions and actions within it. But yeah, I think that's probably my favorite. That or Dexter's Root Removal.
I was going to say the Dexter's Laboratory was the one that's my favorite with the Root
All
removal.
The swearing.
Yeah, they like separate Dexter into two. Was it Dexter and Dee Dee?
Yeah, Dexter and Dee Dee.
Dexter and Dee Dee into their like good and evil halves. And the evil halves like swear at their mother and like just bleep it out the whole time. And everybody's like.
It was a legendary story for a long time. Because with Root Removal, it had been shown once at very early Comic-Con. So this was when Comic-Con was probably the size of this. It was just a small convention in a hotel. It wasn't this massive thing it had been yet. So people had saying, I saw this episode of Dexter's Lab where they were swearing. And it always had been a legend that this episode existed. Just random happenstance, Jendi Tartovsky was doing an AMA on Reddit for Hotel Transylvania. And someone asked him, hey, do you know about this banned episode of Dexter's Lab? And explained it. It's like, I think I still have that. I'll go try to find it. Then Adult Swim says, we heard you're looking for Dexter's Root Removal. We have it. It'll be up in the next week. And then it took about 3 months for it to actually come out, which was infuriating because Adult Swim likes to troll quite a bit. And they kept teasing. It's like, oh, we're going to show it now. And then they don't show it. When it eventually came out, yeah, it was this kind of amazing moment for the internet where something that we never thought really existed, it was just an urban legend, turned out to actually be real. In the back there, yell it loud.
You're tuned to CILU 102.7 FM, and this is a live recording from the Thunder Geeks panel held at ThunderCon 2015.
In the early days of cartoons, is there any pilot episodes that you wish have gone through? Like, my best example would be, in Cartoon Network, where they showed Kitty Bobo.
I'm trying to remember the title for it. There is one. I showed it at a panel way back when with Ketacon. It was starring this girl. So it was going to be a female-led show, and it was going to be an action show. There's a problem, though, about when it was supposed to air, because it was in September of 2001, and one of the main plot points is an airship gets hijacked in the pilot episode. It never went to air because 9/11 happened right before it was supposed to, and it was this really cool show that ended up just going nowhere because of it.
Oh no!
Do you guys know any pilots?
No, but I guess I would have liked it if Bee and Puppy Cat would have kept the same animation as the pilot.
Yeah.
I really like the pilot. I love the animation. I love animation to the point where it's just ooh.
You make noises.
Yes. Turn into a pterodactyl, fly away kind of noises, you know? And, I wish they would have kept the animation from the pilot throughout
but
the series.
It's still fun.
It's the danger of Kickstarter. And you see that with a lot of stuff, especially with video games. I think I'll throw that to you, Kyle, in a second here. But with Bee and Puppycat, yeah, we had this whole promise of what they were going to do, and we were giving the first episode. And then all the follow-up episodes never really seemed to be the same. They never really had that space adventure we thought it was going to be.
I still enjoy them.
Character design is, make or break for me. If something about a character really bothers me, maybe their glasses don't match their eyes and their hair, then it's just no, I don't want to watch this anymore.
So, Kyle, I know this Kickstarter with video games has been a really big issue, and there's been so many that we've promised, and then it never happens. Can you remember any in particular off the top of your head?
I can, because I had one where I had backed it for $60.
Ooh.
It was Hex Heroes. It was a multiplayer game. It was for the Wii U, actually. And
wow.
Basically, what you could do was you had one person that was an RTS player, controlled the army with the gamepad, and you had the other four people with the Wii controllers control, one was, a lumberjack, and one was a miner, one was a fisher, and you actually had to, start a village and, build it up, and they had, YouTubers, Game Grumps and stuff like that were on as, little playable characters that you could be and stuff like that.
Oh, jeez.
And, a week before, they were like, ooh, we're out, and it was okay.
Yeah, because of incidents like this, now Kickstarter actually has rules built into it where they have to show a product and they have to have a working demo. And a lot of Kickstarters have gotten in trouble. I think there was one recently. I'm trying to remember which one it was, but it got kicked to Indiegogo because Kickstarter says you don't have a working prototype.
Would it be a laser shaver thing?
The laser shaver. That's actually what it was with Kickstarter. Yeah. I was so excited for that. It was going to be a razor that was – it had a little laser on it that would cut the hair that you could shave with. Coolest idea ever. I want to shave with lasers. We're officially past October 21st, 2015. We are in the future now. I want to shave with a laser, but turns out the prototype didn't work, and when Kickstarter found out, they're like, no. So they went to Indiegogo.
Did the person die? Because that's how people die.
I'm just going to shave with this
laser.
And there's my head.
I could just imagine Robert being like, oh, this is like not, you know, high enough, and then turning it up, and then, oh, there goes my skin.
It's good, turns into a little lightsaber.
I'd pay for
another one.
It could also be a potato peeler.
Yeah. No, just like some potato chips because it toasts it as you're slicing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
There's one over at the Star Wars stand.
I've only backed a couple of Kickstarters. I've backed the Accent headphones, which I got scared about because when they showed their original prototype, like, because we thought it was done. They had pictures on the website for promoting it. We're like, okay. And then they ended up not being able to go with their original factory because it turns out it was using slave labor. And they're like, okay, we have ethics. We're not using them. We have to go find a new company. And they found Brookstone. And the first headphones they released were completely different than what we were shown when we pledged to Kickstarter. I'm supposed to be getting them next month. The only other one I went in with was Pure Solar. Pure Solar has actually been something I've been supporting for a long time. It's made by the Watermelon Group. They made this RPG with the concept of, we want to make an RPG for the Sega Genesis in, I think, 2011 that could have graphics as good as the Super Nintendo. They felt that it was something where Sega Genesis really lacked in RPGs, and especially on the graphics side, RPGs on the Super Nintendo were just better. So they started off just making a fan thing about themselves in their little forum, and they realized they had so much talent that they put it to be able to support. This was pre-Kickstarter, too, and I threw, I think, $300 at them for three versions of the game that are now worth about $500 each. So you never know what's going to come out when you support it. But they decided to do a Kickstarter to remaster it for the Dreamcast, of course. And I'm hoping to get that one next month. What kind of Kickstarters have you gone in with, Kyle?
Potato salad. First and foremost, the main one would be Exploding Kittens from...
yes.
Yeah. I am the champ of that game.
Of course, like, you know about it and stuff like that. And there was another one that was actually, it was a board game, but I can't remember, like, the pieces of it, because this was a few years ago, but...
Did it ever happen?
No.
The risk of Kickstarter.
For me, the Indiegogo I did was Todd and the Book of Pure Evil, The End of the End.
Yeah, because you're supposed to be killed off.
Yeah, I paid one of the highest perks there are, because what it was is, Todd and the Book of Pure Evil got canceled after season 2, but it ended on cliffhanger, and a lot of fans were rightfully upset, because it's like, okay, what happens next? So the creator said, hey, I don't have the money or resources to make a full feature to finish this, so I'll make an animated movie with the original cast and everyone to wrap up the story. And the perk I paid for was the second most highest. It's $2,500 to have an animated version of yourself killed off in the film. And it's always been a dream of mine to, like, be, like, a nameless victim in a movie, like...
And once we get that, we're just going to take that one scene and turn it into a gif and just have it constantly running over, just Rob dying over and over again.
But because it's taught in the Book of Pure Evil, it's not just going to be like a simple stab wound. It's going to be something where you go, what did I just watch?
Yeah, so taught in the Book of Pure Evil, that was a Canadian show, wasn't it?
100%. I think the only American aspect of it was Jason Mewes.
Yeah, Jason Mewes, better known as Jay from Jay and Silent Bob or the Viewers Universe movies. I'm a big fan of Kevin Smith. But that actually gave me a question. What is the most painful cliffhanger that you've ever had that never continued? Mine would probably be Sonic Saddock, where they had set up this big ending scene where they had Metal Sonic in the background, Robotnik had been defeated, and we were going to get a new season, and then it never happened.
Teen Titans
kind of had a finish, but not really. They finished with the movie, but the big question they never answered with Teen Titans is, who the heck is Red X? We never found out who Red X was.
Mine.
Yell it.
two things. One, the eyes were of Isis Nagus.
Oh, yeah. And
two,
Where's
Zuko's mother?
That has been answered. That has been answered in the comic books that are absolutely terrible.
I still think the search is okay.
The search was okay. No, the promise, they actually addressed the answer of where Zuko's mother went.
Pick up the search. It's actually, I think it's a good read.
I'm going to spoil the promise. Because the interactions between the different characters is not within the tone of the show at all. The writing in it is very fanfiction-y to the point where the Air Acolytes that they have in the Legend of Korra series, it's actually kind of started out as an Avatar fan club in a way that it's parodying actual fangirls like Megan. And
I still enjoyed it. It's worth the read.
I'm going to say it's not worth the read, so I'm going to spoil it. Zuko's mother had amnesia and her face got changed.
Wasn't so much amnesia. Her memory was wiped.
Ooh, oh, you know what? That's actually the plot of a recent game that I played. I'm not going to spoil it because everyone in this room will murder me.
But for me, the whole cliffhanger, no ending, kind of is now a retcon, because for the longest time it was Heroes, and I'm like the most adamant Heroes fan you'll ever meet. And it did end with the season 4 cliffhanger. But now Heroes Reborn is back, and it's like, okay, things happening, yay!
Finally, things happening. Cliffhangers, that's right, that's what we're talking about. Oh my gosh, Constantine.
That's a good point.
Constantine.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens, because they're going to be bringing Constantine back for an episode of Arrow, and there's rumors that he might be in the back half of the season with flashbacks. Arrow's been better so far,
I think. It's going to be in flashbacks, because in the one picture we see Matt Ryan and the Green Arrow, he's in full costume.
So he
might play a role in the past and present.
No, that's
sorry, because when we left question?
Do you think if they do bring him back in Arrow, they'll actually address his sexuality?
Hopefully. I hope so. Because, you know what? Have you been reading their latest comics?
No, but I love
They're very, he's very expressive with his bisexuality, which is great, which is, like, fantastic to see a bisexual writer writing a bisexual character.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Constantine, because the problem is Constantine didn't have bad ratings. Constantine had better ratings than both Arrow and The Flash. The problem is the difference between what's good ratings for the CW and what's good ratings on CBS. When you're on network television, you have a much higher bar to reach. Something that Gotham has been reaching recently, and that's been good to see where they're continuing it. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. hasn't, but they've kept it going. They kept expanding, and that's one thing I've liked, that ABC and Disney is full in on this Marvel thing. It's like, we are going to show it. We have dedicated fans that come to watch it every week, so we're going to keep going with it.
I've been loving S.H.I.E.L.D.
Constantine, unfortunately, CBS just wasn't happy with the numbers because they never beat Supernatural.
But that's like
Supernatural probably had a weak season 1 or 2. Like, I've gone back and rewatched, and the first seasons aren't that great.
The first seasons are actually the only seasons I like. I stopped at 6 because I couldn't handle the bro.
The bro.
But the bromance between Castiel and Dean is so awesome.
Castiel saved the show for me, but Dean and Sam's bro in every episode, like, it can simply just be defined by turning away dramatically and then just going, ah. And, like, Supernatural.
I still thoroughly enjoy it.
I don't know. After a couple of seasons of Supernatural, I was just like, okay, stuff's happening. It's too much. I can't do this anymore.
Don't they keep introducing new things like vampires and fairies and werewolves and everything else?
Well, most of the books got introduced in the first
angels
seasons.
And demons.
Hey. Yeah.
I'm actually curious because I was never a Heroes fan, so I'm curious what you guys are thinking about Heroes. I'm liking, it feels like there's several shows going on at the same time, and some of them I like, and some of them seem really, really dumb, or like they should be a part of a different show. I kind of like the Noah Bennett stuff. I really like the stuff with the little kid that, is trying to run from the law and the twist that they've had with that. However, the Japanese story with that chick transporting to a video game is dumb.
It's dumb, but it's over.
It's over? It's okay.
She's dead. She's dead, she's dead, she's dead.
Oh, spoiler alert. I didn't know she died yet.
It's Heroes. Okay. Pretty much everyone dies. If you like someone, they're on the chopping block.
Oh, it's like Game of Thrones.
Yep. Except for better.
Whoa!
No, it has less wieners. I'm sorry, it's not better.
Yeah, spoiler alert, I don't like Game of Thrones.
I know, right?
Too many wieners.
No, not enough.
You say that? You say that, and like Daenerys just walked right in. Daenerys just walked in the room, and you're gonna say that?
You're gonna have the Mother of Dragons just bring the wrath on you, buddy.
For me, I can explain why I don't like it very simply. I don't like these characters. They're all selfish jerks.
That's true.
Yeah. Did you see what they live through?
So?
I'd be selfish too if somebody tried to stab me around every corner.
Well, maybe you wouldn't be selfish if you were nice and then people
would
try.
Someone got shot while taking a poop.
Sounds like the plot to Austin Powers.
It was with the crossbow, though.
My point still stands is I didn't like anyone, so there was no emotional investment for me. I watched the full first season, didn't like anyone.
Not even Jon Snow's eyes?
No. Maybe his abs, but...
Kyle, have you been watching Heroes Reborn yet?
No, I
you haven't watched it, not going
I
in?
I have.
You wanna...
I've watched a very small amount of Heroes, and that's thanks to Rob. And that's about where that ended for me.
I have not watched any Heroes at all.
That's all right. I feel like this is just for me because I, how many episodes did we have where I would rant about that cliffhanger ending?
Quite a few. That's like me in Splatoon where I won't shut up about Splatoon because I'm obsessed with this game.
So for me to get that, like, this is just going to be a one-season miniseries, and I'm okay with that as long as it ends with, like, proper resolution. Yeah. No cliffhanger ending. I just want an ending.
So I have a question for the audience. So I want it by round of applause because this is an ongoing debate. It is one of the most pressing questions of our time. Who has the better butt, Dick Grayson or Spider-Man?
Dick Grayson?
Dick Grayson. What? Spider-Man.
Haha, you lost.
Dick Grayson, you guys are
heathens. Heathens. Dick Cannon is the hottest butt in the DC universe.
Is Dick Cannon
Dick
the hottest
Cannon.
Butt in the universe?
Yes. Phrasing.
Phrasing.
Of course, we're going to take another short break here, folks. You're listening to 102. And this is brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU or around the world at luradio.ca. We're your Thunder Geeks, and we'll be right back.
CILU is sponsored in part by the students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
The Thunder Bay Country Market, keeping it local every Saturday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. and every Wednesday from 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. year-round. Stop by and say hi to over 80 vendors who make it, bake it, and grow it in the Dove Building located on the CLE grounds. Sensia Corporate Web Solutions. Log on to sensia.ca for information about locally owned and operated hosting, site creation, and more. The Study Coffee House. The Study is a fully licensed, intimate live venue and the place to get your caffeine fix while on the Lakehead University campus. CILU's presentation of the live Thunder Geeks panel from ThunderCon 2015 continues now here on CILU 102.7 FM.
And we're back.
Did you miss us? Did you really miss us?
Did you miss us, live audience? So I kind of touched on this earlier. It's something I'm really excited about. DC is taking a really bold new approach. There has been this traditional wisdom among both cartoons and with toys and merchandise that girls don't buy action figures. It's the reason why Avatar, which most people don't even know have toys because they were really terrible, never had Katara or Toph made as a toy. The two characters that are most apt to be making toys out of were not made because girls don't buy toys.
Not as bad as the live-action movie.
Nothing
is as bad as that movie.
Don't talk about that.
Young
Beast isn't as bad as that movie.
The play in the episode of Avatar when they went to see the play, that was better than
yes.
It was like they were seeing into the future.
Young Justice. Young Justice is probably one of the greatest examples of this. Mm-hmm. Young Justice was canceled for two reasons. No, Young Justice.
You are Young Justice.
You are Young Justice.
Whoa.
However, Young Justice was an amazing cartoon, and it was pretty serious. The problem was, toys didn't sell. If toys don't sell with the cartoon, it can get dropped. The other big thing, and a lot of people misunderstand this, was too many girls started watching, which sounds horrible at first, until you understand what advertisers do. Advertiser, when you're selling to an advertiser, you want to sell them, we have this demographic, we have 8 to 12 year old boys, sell them toys. And when they have that demographic, it's a law and lock, and have a solid demographic, they can sell that to exactly who they want to. The problem is too many people started watching the show from too many diverse groups, and they didn't know how to market it anymore. So not only were the toys existing not selling, they couldn't sell it to advertisers because they didn't have a defined group to do. So DC is doing something really revolutionary. They're having the DC Superhero Girls line. It is going to be action figures and a DC line directly marketed to girls between 6 and 12, which really hasn't happened before. It's always been, you know, they stick Barbie in a superhero costume, and it's a terrible, terrible thing. And girls aren't always looking for toys, and it's cool to see that they're going to have this out there for them and have this growth within gender. I don't think I'm going to get into the cartoon side of it. I've watched a couple of things. It's definitely below my age demographic. I'm just excited to see what they will do with it.
Well, is that things like... Marvel's got Jessica Jones coming out.
Marvel's got Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones is not for kids.
No, it's not
at all.
No, it's coming out with like...
But
Daredevil,
have you seen the trailer?
Yes, I have.
With David Tennant as the Purple Man?
Absolutely.
Oh, he gave me chills.
But like... Yes, because Supergirl's coming out, and it's definitely not going to be...
Supergirl's pilot leaked, so I'm hoping it gets better, because, it keeps happening with superhero shows especially, where the pilot keeps getting leaked months ahead of time. Happened with Gotham, happened with Constantine. Constantine ended up changing the ending just because of the reaction to the pilot.
But
with The Flash.
I think that's what they actually do, is leak it, because when you show something to a focus group, they'll either be polite or maybe not even your target audience. You show to the internet will give you their 100% honest opinion.
Yeah, that's true.
You won't get ripped apart.
The internet has no mercy.
Safe space.
Safe space.
Oh. I'll talk about that.
Can we talk about safe space?
Well, there's been something. It's happened really recently, and I've been angry about it, because the internet can be a place of great love and great hate, but sometimes that can get misused. There's this artist on Tumblr known as Zami. Now, Tumblr has a reputation of kind of a competition of victimhood, where... So, yes, I don't usually like we're using the term, because it's thrown out too easily sometimes, but in this case, I think it's justified. It was this artist known as Zami, and she was getting bullied over Tumblr because of what she was drawing, and I was thinking, oh, it was going to be some offensive thing. Not really. She drew Amethyst, a character from Steven Universe, and Rose, skinnier than their models were, and really not that skinny. She drew a human version of Fluttershy in like a Native American garb, and they called that racist. She drew gender-swapped characters, and they started calling her transphobic, and all of this hate built up so much. These people had good intentions in their head, where they're like, oh, and you see it in the response to what eventually happened, where they're like, oh, we're just trying to help her. It's her fault she's not changing. She just thinks we're a joke. These are serious issues, and you need to change right now. But her art wasn't offensive, and she was driven so much that she had a suicide attempt recently, and we're lucky that she's okay. She posted a video from the hospital, it's like, I'm still alive, but it was all these people with a great idea where we have a safe space, we want to include people, but because they were convinced that they had a great cause, they thought the ends justified the means. There's this great documentary, and I hope we don't get followed by secret people, called Going Clear. And there's a scene in it where they were talking to former members of the Church of Scientology, and they were just explaining, it's like, I look back at what I was doing, and I justified myself doing so many things because I knew I was doing it for a good cause at the time. I was doing it for the church. I was doing it to help my people, because anyone who wasn't in there wasn't, you know, on board. And that's something where I see within this as well, where they're going so far, they've gone to such this cult mentality where it's inflexibility, and it's gone from tolerance to, if you don't accept these same ideas that we have, you are now an enemy and we are going to destroy you. And that's what ended up happening with Zami.
In other words, SJWs.
Yes. SJW is a thing that's known as social justice warrior. It's an awkward situation to talk about. We've danced around it many times on the show because it's hard to talk about this. I am a very progressive liberal person. I am very much trans-friendly. I love diversity in comics. I love when they introduce different storylines and new characters and stuff. But they have to do it for the reason that they have a story to tell, not because they're pandering to a demographic, because it's hollow that way. You don't end up getting fleshed out characters like that. I think one of my best examples, and I was really disappointed, you said it may have changed, but originally in the Teen Titans, when DC relaunched the New 52, they had this character Bunker, who looked cool. He had this purple outfit. He was a gay Latino character, which we hadn't had before. But then when they did the story, I can't describe the character beyond those traits. And if you don't have a character that is more than just the sum of its parts, you have the Star Wars prequel trilogy.
I like to just summarize it up all together as it's either everything's okay or nothing's okay.
And it's something where you have to accept that people are going to disagree with you, and it's okay. It is okay to fight passionately for the things you believe in. It is okay to include and work to include so many people into our fandom because it's something that's beautiful about being a geek. You can be weird. You can just be awkward, and you can end up talking to a room in front of people and enjoy hearing you and talking with them and getting the sense of community. But you have to also be accepting of people who are not like you. And you don't have to have everyone on the same thing. And especially when you start going looking for a cause to fight that isn't a cause, you wind up with issues like this. And we've seen it so many times where you've seen outrage over non-issues. It's been hard to talk about. One of the biggest travesties that happened recently was the UN Broadband Commission on gender, internet and the gender. The report ended up being so bad, they pulled it because the citations would not pass a high school exam. And that, not even like using any sort of MLA or APA formatting, just in general, they used a paragraph as a citation. There was links that were missing or went to nowhere. They had a CPath drive listed in their links, and they were spreading things. It was one of the very first topics we ever talked about Thunder Geeks. Violence in video games. They repeated the lie once again that violent media causes violent people, and it's just not true. It's the other way around. Violent people can be attracted to violent media, but everyone can enjoy a form of media and not be driven to go shoot up a school. And it's maddening. It's maddening that you have all these people with such good intention fighting for a cause that is without factual basis.
By round of applause, who here plays violent video games like Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter? By same round of applause, who here has committed, let's just say, murder? Oh my god, murder is nice!
I knew it.
But I know a lot of you are like clapping out a joke, but
this does count, though, right?
We're all terrible, terrible people.
But yeah, it's like, like, you guys aren't violent. You guys are, like, cool people. It's like we could have a conversation even outside this radio show and just chat. I'm not worried that you're going to stab me because you did that in Mortal Kombat.
And that hurt me. It was a comment that Felicia Day made after what happened with Gamergate, which is a whole other cluster where there are terrible people on every single side of this issue, and I might talk about it a bit. But what she said is, I now cross the street when I see someone wearing a gaming shirt, and that hurts. That hurts because that is stereotyping now a people that it's unjustified. Now, the gaming community definitely has an issue with anger, and I understand that. No. When you're in a hyper-competitive sport, and I said it right at the beginning of the show, like with Splatoon, I play Splatoon way too much, and I get really into the game, and I end up yelling at the screen in fury. I don't mean any of these things, but it's something that happens in the moment. But you do have those people who are looking to go out and hurt others. And that's where they're tailor their insults around. And it's not just towards to women or to LGBT people. If you're a guy, they're going to start attacking your manhood as well. Or like, oh, you're a sweaty neckbeard virgin and you're always going to live in your mother's basement. They're looking to hurt you. But then on the flip side, you also have those people where they're looking to have a cause to fight for where there is none, like when they're fighting against gender swaps. Gender swaps is something so ingrained into the art community and the internet, we have, it's Rule 63 of the internet. If there is a character, there is a female or gender swapped version of that character.
Heck, myself, no, I've got my Harley Quinn costume I do myself, Harvey Quinn.
Yeah.
Where I gender swapped Harley because I'm a huge fanboy, but I don't have the legs for a dress. So I made myself a Harley Quinn suit.
I have the legs for a dress.
You do. But it's like, yeah, I don't feel like shame or anything in like, she's a character I really enjoy. I want to show off that passion and like of this character.
Yeah. But like, Adventure Time does an entire show where they swap every single character's gender. Yeah. And no, did people call them?
No.
Written by
the that's one of the things that with the Zanny situation that threw me for such a loop is when I looked through her art, I couldn't find anything wrong. I was expecting something. I was like, when I see the hate against some of the commentators involved within Gamergate, infamously Sarkeesian, where it's not justified in any way, shape, or form, I at least understand why people are mad. They're handling it terribly, but when things are being misrepresentative and they don't have a voice to respond back, you get the extremists where they're going to say the most worst thing possible, and it's hard to deal with.
You're tuned to CILU 102.7 FM, and this is a live recording from the Thunder Geeks panel held at ThunderCon 2015.
I must say, either way, be it like liberal or conservative, if I'm just going to call it that.
Yeah.
Extremes are wrong. Like,
that's an extreme.
Yeah, no, but it's like, there's nothing wrong with standing your ground.
The only extreme that's acceptable is from the 90s, where it's extreme!
Yeah, but it's like, there's nothing wrong with, like, having a certain viewpoint or stance. But...
don't be a dick!
Yeah.
It's an easy thing to live by. Don't be a dick!
As an artist, I have to say that I just learned how to draw curvy women and muscular men this year. Like, just this year, I learned how to draw curvy girls. I learned how to draw bellies on girls. I learned how to draw thick thighs and big butts and, like, just different shapes. Drawing...
lots of big butts. We cannot... just there's an entire sketchbook just of butts.
She likes big butts, and she cannot lie.
Like, working with characters from Steven Universe, especially drawing... I used to draw really long torsos, and I stopped doing that because I, you know, proportions, whatever. But there are people with long torsos... but the thing is, like, you know, people wouldn't, like, message me being like, ugh, her torso's too long. What did you do? That's not right. That's, you know, not her character.
There's one thing that's been going around the internet right now where I've just been facepalming. But it's not for the reason that all the media is reporting on, because the media fell for trolling, and they do this a lot. Because now you have people who will say things to get a reaction. Trolls. Clickbait with it as well, but it's not just that. For a round of applause, who's seen the Boycott Star Wars hashtag?
Here's the thing.
Okay, the Boycott Star Wars hashtag is essentially claiming that they're going to boycott Star Wars because of white genocide, because there's a black stormtrooper and they're trying to kill white people. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds crazy. That's by design, because what that was actually done, there is about just a handful of people on the little website known as 8chan, 4chan, and then they blame it on 4chan because they're an offshoot of them. They intentionally said the most horrifying, craziest thing they could, had a bunch of bots retweet it to other people to get it picked up by the media to make them think it was a real story. Now, is it horribly racist and terrible? Yes, but that was their goal. The only way to defeat trolls is not to feed them. And it's something that we see this huge struggle on the internet for people who want to fight for a cause, for people who just want to piss off people who are fighting for a cause. And there's no way to win. There's no way to win between a side that only wants a reaction and a side that can't help but give a reaction.
And it's become this marketing thing where people are intentionally lashing out against something that clearly has a group of people who follow it.
Yeah.
And it's like for attention, like, Grand Theft Auto obviously gets a lot of good marketing because you see it everywhere, because parents are saying, my kids shouldn't be, you know, playing this, or this is bad, and it gets a lot of attention for that.
And
you shouldn't buy it for your kid. It's a rated freaking game.
Yeah.
It comes down to, you have to have parents involved, you have to have the community involved. You can't let the internet raise your kids. Or you can, and they turn out like me, but sometimes...
Okay. Actually, a good example of this I like to give is when I was a kid, I bought a copy of Mortal Kombat. Now, this is like old 8-bit or 16-bit. 16. And it was like bloody and all that. My mom didn't know what it was, but she bought it. But the moment she saw what it was and all that blood, she took the disc out of my computer and snapped it in half and said, this is not for you. What do you think you're doing? As a kid, I was furious. But as an adult, I understand why she did that.
I actually have the same exact same story, but with Diablo. I was bought in Diablo, the very first one. And when I first went into the cathedral and she started seeing demons and blood and gore and all that, my mother was like, what the?
But yeah,
you
see,
bought
that,
it.
But yeah, see, that's like, nowadays with the internet, more parents can actually look up what this is. Because like when games were new, when we were kids, it's like there wasn't a... There were ratings, so to speak, but there wasn't M-rated games. They were T.
Yeah.
And it's like, my mom thought, oh, well, he's a little more mature. He can handle maybe a swear word here or there. But the amount of gore, she's like, no.
Not going to happen. Shutting this down.
Yeah.
Perfect example of that, too, is... actually, yeah, the best one was a game that was recently released called Hatred.
We talked about
that. Actually, that's what sparked that conversation on this show. During the very first episode when we thing, there was that whole controversy around Hatred. A lot of people probably don't even know what that is now. Hatred was just this ultra-violent top-down shooting game. And everyone's freaking out. It's like, oh, it's going to cause violence, blah, 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 blah. And the question no one asked was, is the game any good?
No.
Turns out, no one really played it because the game wasn't any good. It was relying on style over substance, and you'll see that.
The whole purpose of that game, the story behind the game as well, is literally just shooting people.
Yeah, it's like
there is no story, there's nothing, you just shoot people in a high graphic violence.
Angry.
One of the most interesting stories that, surprisingly, I had never played the game. I heard this from, I think I picked it up off Kotaku. It's a mission inside of Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2. Inside of Modern
in the airport.
No Russia.
Nope. Yeah.
No.
So what this mission is you are under you're in deep undercover as a terrorist, and you go inside of an airport. And now everyone around you, the AI around you starts shooting civilians. Here's the thing: the game never instructs you what to do, never punishes you on what to do. Most people just started shooting and not realizing they could have gone the entire mission without firing a shot. And recently the developer came out and said, you know, the writer for that mission came out, you know, asking, it's like, why did you do that? It's like, I wanted to make people feel and think about something in a genre they usually wouldn't, because within shooters, yeah, it's usually just pow, pow, pow. You got a question there, fire away.
Just commenting on what you just said, the how you could go through the entire game without firing a shot, that mission. Is partially true, the whole mission.
The mission.
However, that is partially true, except after you get out of the airport and the SWAT team start coming after you, that's when it's either going to be extremely hard to not fire a shot to defend yourself from the SWAT.
Yeah. Well, if you're trying to not die.
Yeah, if you play that mission.
I can see we have a lot of COD fans.
Because there's such a big outlash towards it, they realize that some people are going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, they gave the option to skip the mission as well, which was something that was really interesting.
Has, like, bad content.
Essentially a trigger warning, yeah.
To add on to that, though, because it was Spec Ops The Line as well, had a
oh,
mission where you had to literally murder just civilian after civilian.
Well, there's actually a really cool Vsauce 3 video called Is Mario Evil?
Yes.
And it's a talk... No, it's a really cool experiment where it's, like, saying, well, the Goombas are harmless, and, yeah, they kill you if you touch them, but the thing is, you can play the entire first few levels of Mario without killing any of the video game characters, which is making it go, hey, are you evil by making Mario do this?
But you get points for jumping on the little
But that's
robots.
The thing.
Isn't that kind of a perverse incentive?
I like
yeah.
it.
Oh, hey, yeah. Megan, you're going to get a ton of money if you go rob a bank.
Think about how he's evil like off the first, in the first game. The instruction manual had it that
because
the bricks were turned,
were former Mushroom Kingdom citizens.
Yeah,
for those who don't know.
Each brick, that's a citizen.
Yeah, for those who don't know, in the first Mario game, the bricks you smash are Mushroom Kingdom citizens. Who
toads.
Translations were weird back in the day.
They're toads.
Yeah. So if you ever smashed a brick in the original Mario game, you just murdered an innocent civilian.
Yep. How's that Spec Ops flashback?
You could just be a dick on Dragon Age and kill people.
Yep. You could.
So, we actually do have some stuff to give away. We should figure out how we're going to do it.
Free stuff!
I know. I'm trying not to die here.
So, I just got a couple posters here.
I got an idea.
Oh, Rob's got an idea.
The first person who can remember my supervillain name, Andrew's supervillain name, and Megan's supervillain name.
Wait, no!
So, I will give you... I got the one of the movie posters from the theater of The Dark Knight Rises back in the day. Turns out I never hung it on my wall, so...
Why didn't you tell me?
I saw you had your hand up.
Do you remember our supervillain names?
I only remember yours, and that's hard to find.
No.
Oh my God.
I can remember the...
Jackie will count.
Name dropper?
I don't know.
What about Megan? What was Megan? Do you remember her?
Okay.
Name dropper. Miley Greenser and Fangirl. Yes.
That is correct.
Yay! So I'll give you this guy here.
And then
this second one here, I'm not too sure what it's from. My dad just gave it to me today.
And this is a surprise poster.
It's a very, very old poster. Slightly bootleggy.
Slightly bootleggy. Ooh.
However, I just think it looks really cool.
What?
So how should we give this guy away? Because it kind of looks like old graphics Terminator style.
Oh, I thought of the first thing. So, Megan,
pick a number two.
Someone who's wearing a robot appendage.
Do we have anyone with a
Luke
robot?
Luke Skywalker's
anyone
not in
here.
Anyone
with a robot appendage? Anyone wearing a robot appendage?
Anyone wearing a sort of mask appendage?
No, that doesn't count.
That
no
doesn't
one's wearing a robot appendage. Okay, that one was a flop. Sorry.
I'm going to count that just because you asked for it. Sometimes asking is all you need to do.
The Gerd Terminator robot appendage.
I just love seeing the gears grind in your head. It's like, not.
I totally wasn't thinking about Bender or HK-47 or Fisto at all. Totally not. No, no
Fisto.
Way.
Or no, Paul, that's all in Vegas is Fisto's head, and Fisto's fist is in Paul 3.
Yes.
So, how have you guys been enjoying ThunderCon so far?
Has anyone here donated to the Bring the Nathan Fillion to Town Fund?
Yes. That's
get
thing.
On that because we want him. Because I want to meet him again.
Last I checked, they made $15, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but when did you last check? A few hours ago?
This morning.
Yeah. For all you know, they could have, like, had
$20 now.
Oh, there's a little Batgirl. Hi.
That's adorable.
Sorry, I get really confused.
Oh, no, that's okay. To our listeners next week on the radio, there was the most adorable little Batgirl in here, and she broke our hearts.
Bye.
I don't have one of those.
That's a good point.
See, I've even got the evil laugh working.
Can you evil laugh, Kyle? Because we still need to think of you a superhero, yeah.
I still say dying boy.
Or you're just gonna be dying boy. You're just gonna die over. You're gonna be like Kenny. You're just gonna die over and over and over again.
I don't even have a basement.
That doesn't really work because me and Rob also both live in a basement.
They actually live. I don't.
I actually miss living in a basement. Because I have the asthma.
It's, it's our natural habitat.
And we don't have to deal with this bright yellow orb in the sky.
Well, guys, I want to thank you so much for attending our recording here. We were so glad to have you. We're going to put out a post the show pending all the audio went well. It's going to be airing next week, 10:30. We're going to have our show tonight as well. We're going to be doing a double feature.
Hey, you might hear us talk about you guys.
We're going to talk about you guys as well.
So
thank you so much. Of course.
Flyers.
We have been your Thunder Geeks. This is from 102.7 FM CILU or around the world at luradio.ca. And if you want to continue the conversation with us, which we always love to do, you can do so online on our Facebook page at facebook.com/ThunderGeekSpeak. Follow us on our other social media, Twitter, Tumblr, when it finally works, and Instagram, at Thunder Geeks. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
The COVID-19 coronavirus is spreading to more countries globally. While there are still only a small number of cases in Canada, it is important to be prepared. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic the flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to stay home and self-isolate, or to seek medical attention. Wash hands frequently for 20 seconds with soap and water, or disinfect with an alcohol-based hand rub. Avoid touching eyes, mouth, and nose. Practice good respiratory etiquette. Cover your coughs and sneezes with your arm or use tissue. Clean regularly used surfaces and objects like countertops, doorknobs, and children's toys. Maintain social distance. Stay at least 2 meters away from someone who is coughing or sneezing. Instead of a handshake, use a wave or another greeting. For more up-to-date information on COVID-19, check reliable sources like your local health authority, the Public Health Agency of Canada, or the World Health Organization.
Hello, annyeong, ni hao, konnichiwa. You're listening to Asian Pop Stop on CILU Radio 102.7 FM. I'm your host, Synthair, and I'm taking you to the other side of the world to hear great music from all across Asia. In today's show, we are focusing on Chinese artists. And in this specific case, we're especially listening to a lot of Chinese artists that actually started out in the Korean pop music scene and then transitioned to careers, generally solo careers, in China, whether that be mainland China or Hong Kong or Taiwan or combination of said bases. So let's get started right away. Our first artist for today is Tao. He goes by the name of Tao, full name Huang Zitao. And he was formerly in the Korean super boy band EXO. And he is a pretty talented singer, rapper, dancer, martial artist, and songwriter. And he left EXO in, I think it was 2015, after he sued his label due to terms in his contract that he felt were unfair. He has been promoting fairly consistently in mainland China for some time now. And what we are about to hear are a couple of his of my favorite songs of his. One is his solo debut song, T.A.O., and another one is off of his, I believe it's his second mini album, and it is called Alone. Both are songs that really showcase the sort of two sides to his sound. He makes a lot of very intense sort of electronic dance music that is hip-hop influenced, as well as like softer ballad type music as well. It's quite interesting. I think you're gonna love both these songs. Let's give it a listen. This is Tao with T.A.O. and Alone.
I believe in my